the Psalm 1 tonight. So a very familiar passage, and yet I think a passage that's important. Obviously, as we come to a night like this evening, I'm fully aware that often what can be said is can easily be forgotten too. Our hearts and minds are kind of in another place, and it can easily be forgotten. So I felt it important and critical for us to use something that, Lord willing, is a picture that we're already familiar with, and something that, Lord willing, will be a blessing and a help. I'll never forget, years ago, it was a sad day in our church family. Within my first or second year of ministry, and the senior pastor was away, and it fell on me to do the preaching for, I think, the entire day. Maybe the other assistant was doing some preaching that evening or something like that, but I had the morning service. Well, in the midst of between Sunday school and church, we had a gentleman in our church who passed away from a heart attack in the service. So here I was unaware of what was going on. And as we came out from choir rehearsal, here was Mr. Dry, was his name, Mr. Dry, and he's a beloved man. Everyone knew him, loved him, a generous person, was on the floor in the office at that point. One of our orthodontists was trying to revive him, was doing CPR and so forth. And he ultimately passed away. So you can understand what was going on in the congregation that morning. We started the service eventually, did the singing. We felt like we were there. We need to do something. Of course, at the moment, we didn't know the ambulance had taken Mr. Dry away. And so we stopped and prayed, and then we tried to sing together. But you know, people's hearts were kind of distracted. Well, then, just as we got into the song service, a lady that came on an irregular basis, sitting in the back, like where Josh is sitting over there, right? All of a sudden, she fell over. And so the ambulance has come all back in. Now, she just had passed out. It was an older lady. But they bring in the gurney and everything into the auditorium. We're trying to have a song service. At this point, we've got this double whammy going on. And so I realized, I'm going to preach this morning, but no one in the world is even going to hear a word I say. We're going through the motions. I probably, and this would surprise you, but I probably preached for maybe 10 minutes at the most, maybe 15. I know that that's just unusual, okay? But I preached the message. We all went home. We were praying. And then, of course, the sad news of Mr. Dry passing. We had the funeral. I realized, I put effort and the sweat and tears, if I can put it that way, into that message. So literally 3 weeks later, I got up and preached the exact same message to the church family. No one said, "Did you say something about that a few weeks ago?" And I realized, no, this is not, as Lord willing, as serious of a situation with the heralds even tonight. Don't die tonight, please. Okay? Okay. We don't want that. But it is, I know that our hearts, at least mine is, I don't know about yours, but mine is distracted. Can I put it that way? And with that happening, I know that it's important for us to maybe just take a few minutes, but important minutes. This is our time to say farewell. And it's my opportunity to tell Pastor Allen and his family we love him and we want God's blessing on him. And would you say amen to that? I trust you would. Absolutely. We love the heralds. They've ministered us in unique ways that we will miss, that will never be filled in again. That's God's design and God's purpose. They're unique folk and we cherish them. When I came here, one of the joys and blessings was you church family saying, "Oh, we love Pastor Allen." And you remember the Allenisms you used to talk about all the time? And you had to, and the deacons, "Oh, that's an Allenism." "Oh, okay." It was the reason they said that was not to necessarily make fun. It was to laugh with, but it was a note of we love him. We cherish him. We love to see what God is doing in and through his life. And that's been the joy for these last 7 years. Unbeknownst to you, maybe you've maybe forgotten. I haven't forgotten, obviously, because it's personal. But this is really marking the beginning of my 8th year with you today. All right, so it's an anniversary day for us as well. And so these 7 years have been tremendous years. Years of great joy I look back over with wonderful, wonderful memories. And we'll cherish them, much, very much so. Though today our hearts are breaking, are hurting. We will miss them dearly. So what can we do tonight to make this maybe a little of some spiritual value besides, and I'm not trying to make you cry yet, okay? And I hope we won't do that here, all right? per se. I mean, if you cry, I get it. We all cry, and maybe I will, but I'm not planning on this moment. We can cry later together. But what can we do? What do you do? How can we, in some way, bless the Harrells? You know, really, my life is insignificant in some respects. All of our lives are. We're just servants of the Lord, aren't we, together? And so, if we want the Harrells' life to be blessed, well, we're really asking that the Lord would bless them, that the Lord would bless them. And how can we do that? Well, that's what Psalm 1 is about. Really, Psalm 1 is the wonderful introduction to an entire songbook that's asking for the blessing of the Lord on an individual child of God or an entire nation of God. And though this is not necessarily directly, can I put it this way, the book of Psalms is not necessarily our songbook, yet we use it and borrow from it. Never forget the New Testament instruction, Ephesians 5, verses 18, 19, and 20. Singing to yourselves in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs. Those are a part of who we are as believers. And it is a part of our way to help bring blessing and pray for the blessing of God on the Harrells' life. So, if I can, without too much blubbering or too many distractions, let's walk through this tonight. And this becomes really a prayer for the Harrells and a prayer really for us. This is a blessing that belongs upon the head of every believer that knows the Lord. How does it start? Blessed. And that's the word for blessing, happy. We want God's blessing. Actually, it's almost really a prayer of asking for God's favor and God's approval. God, would you favor the Harrells? Would you approve all that they do in life? Now, how does that happen? Blessed is the man. And notice the psalmist hastens right away. We don't know for sure that this was written by David. Many presume so, but we're not. The Scriptures doesn't tell us that. But this inspired writer hastens immediately to the point of what it takes to be blessed. And he starts with the parameters, not the blessing. Believer, in all of our lives, if we are going to seek the blessing of the Lord, we cannot escape His law. Now, we say, we're Christians, we live under grace. And I'm so glad we do. We look back with wonderful joy and blessing upon the work of Christ on the cross of Calvary. The indwelling of the Spirit of God at the moment of salvation for every believer. How could someone live without that? I don't know. I am astounded that the Old Testament saints walked with the Lord. They had no promise that the Spirit indwelt them moment by moment, day by day. God was with them in some way, but not like we experience. And we want God's blessing, and yet it always starts with understanding, where does God's blessing lie? Yeah, I think all of us would quickly say, well, wait a second. God doesn't bless the sinner, does He? You're thinking right. The only blessing that God promises to the sinner is when that sinner repents and comes to Him by faith. Now, God in His wonderful, you know, Pastor, isn't there like general grace? Well, yeah, He makes the sun shine upon the evil and on the good. He sends the rain. But when we're talking of God's great favor and God's acceptance, there are parameters to that. And so, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in His law doth he meditate day and night. We want God's favor and God's approval upon the Harrells and upon our life. What does that mean? Well, that means I must deliberately choose a course that God approves. And what is that course? Well, I am not to be conformed to several things here in the first verse. That word I choose carefully and wisely, I think, in light of Scripture, both in Psalm 1 here and Romans chapter 12 specifically. Be not conformed to this world. So, in light of verse 1 here, I must stay if I'm going to see God's favor on my life, if the Harrells will continue to experience God's blessing on their life. They must not heed the advice of the ungodly. They must not party or be a party to the manner of life of sinners. We must not company with those who mock God and His law. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, or standeth in the way of sinners, or sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Don't heed the ungodly's advice, not even partway. Don't be a party to his manner of life. Avoid it. Don't company with those who mock God and His laws. You see, the psalmist is trying to put together a very comprehensive form here. One should never get involved in anything that's wicked. He should never go that way. Pastor Allen, Nicole, and your children, as they're spread out around here, we want God to bless your life in every way. And so we charge you then, do not go the way of the sinner. Moses in the book of Deuteronomy said this, talking about a father to the children. Thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, talking about all God's commands, and shalt talk of them when thou... And here's the part I want you to understand that's very similar to verse 1 here of Psalm 1. Teach the children when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. We must, you must, obviously, on a day-to-day, moment-by-moment basis, not conform to the world. May God help us. Now, here's the positive side. That's the negative side. That's the parameters. Verse 2, but His delight. His delight is in the law of the Lord. We are to be lovers of God's Word. If I'm going to experience God's favor and God's approval, I must love God's Word. And that doesn't mean that I simply say, oh, it's so neat. No. To be a lover of God's Word simply, directly means I love it so much I will obey it. You folks are demonstrating love for the chair that you're sitting on right now. You're putting weight on it and trusting it. Don't you love those chairs? I hope you do, especially because you have a long-winded preacher. They got good padding on it, all right? In the same way, we must utterly depend upon God's Word for our life. God in His Word has given us all that we need, 2 Peter 1:3, for life and for godliness. Cherish the Word of God. Let the law of God, His entire instruction, delight, bring pleasure and joy to your heart. Now, why do I do that? Why in the world would we want God's favor on the Harrells directly on all of our lives? Why would we go through the struggle of avoiding the wicked path and the wicked sinner, not conforming to that? Why would we go through the discipline of loving God's Word? So that means I get in and study it. That means I live it out in my life. I work diligently or obeying all of its precepts. Why would I do that? Well, the psalmist gives us some wonderful impetus. The reason why, the beauty of this. What is it about the favor of God that's worth not conforming to the world and worth conforming to His Word? Let's start at verse 3. This favored man shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither. Whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Verses 3 and 4 go together. You see, the beloved life, the blessed life, the favored life of God promises to be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. This river is probably here speaking of an irrigation canal. I know that we don't generally worry about those things around wet Midwest, all right? God has given us in this section of the land usually plenty of water. It almost makes me chuckle when I go up to my mom and dad's place and I pass those fields on Inman Road and this guy's got this massive irrigation system set up over there. Really? I mean, has it paid for itself yet? I wonder, you know. It's not generally needed here. But where I was born in Colorado, where my uncles and aunts, where my father grew up farming, if you didn't have irrigation, you didn't have crops. So they build reservoirs up in the mountain to catch all the snow melt. Those farmers depended upon lots of snow in the mountains through the winter months. And then they had a wonderful irrigation system that they divvied up and shared all the water coming down. You could have so much water coming from this main. And it was interesting to me as a kid, especially as I got into farming, going back, and here I had been farming in some of the richest soil in central Wisconsin in the entire world. The farmer I worked for was setting records for crop production. You know that rich black earth that God has so abundantly given us in this area? And I go out to my uncle's farm in Colorado, and they've got this sandy soil, and I look at his hay field, I'm a junior high school kid, and saying, "Uncle Bob, move to Wisconsin." And he would judiciously plant the hay, all right, the alfalfa, and then water, water, water. And still, there was barren patches in his hay field. You could see the sandy soil. Up in Wisconsin, I mean, you had to do everything you could to keep the weeds out of the hay, because everything would grow. Now, that same picture is what's pictured here. When we walk in favor with God, our life is like a tree that's planted by this canal that always has water. Leaf does not wither. Unafraid of the drought, his heart and soul is full. His fruit is prospering. He bears it in the right season. The picture is abundant. Notice it's his fruit. It seems to be very clear that the writer here wants the reader to realize, wait a second, as I walk with God, obey his word, not conform to the world, God will prosper me in my life and what he has planned for me. It will bear fruit in the right season. It will bring a harvest. He will always be well fed. And in fact, there, he makes it abundantly clear, if you haven't got it at the end of verse 3, all that he does prospers. It comes to its designed end. We wish this on the Harrells tonight. May God bring them to all that he plans for them to the designed end. We want God's favor. What a beautiful picture. Are you experiencing God's designed end in your life even now? You see, this picture is of a tree that's flourishing now in this life. Not just talking about eternity. But as we walk and meditate in God's word, cherish it, delight in it, not conform to the world of the sinner, guess what happens? In this life, I become like a tree that's planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. There are seasons, yes, of growth, but seasons of great abundant fruit. I can have blessed life here if I love his word and avoid the world. But then he goes on, the final picture. So yes, we want to be favored by and approved by God because it offers in this life abundant life. That's verses 3 and 4. But then verse 5 and 6, because the favored, approved life by God offers a beautiful end to life too. Verse 5 and 6. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. Those are pretty stern words, aren't they? You see, a man that or a lady that does not spend his life consumed by and delighting in the Word of God will, at the end of the day, not stand in the judgment. He will not be able to abide before the judge. He will, and in fact the idea is he will collapse. And he will not find himself in the congregation of the righteous. Excluded. No place among God's people. Not enjoying His presence. The picture is meant to be stark and dark. If I am willing to go the way of this world, even as a believer, my end is not good. Paul further describes it for the believer that there will be a loss of reward. Our eternity is secure as a believer. That's held in the Lord Jesus Christ's hands. But the wages of sin, even for the believer, is still death. It brings ruin, destruction. The ultimate end of a man who avoids his God, avoids God's word, is he will not stand in judgment. He'll fall before his judge. He will not join the congregation of the righteous. He will not be there. May we not take on any character quality of the ungodly. May we not lose reward one day before our judge. Believer, it's a reality. We are going to come to our end. And then the judgment. Will you stand in the congregation of the righteous? Will the Lord uphold you before His judgment seat? Well done, thou good and faithful servant. How can I know that that's going to happen? Verse 1 and 2 again. The favored life. Don't conform to the world. Don't conform to sinners. Love God's word. Delight in it. Live it out. Let it consume you. Verse 6. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous. What an amazing, cherished promise. What is the end for the favored life? The life that's striving to follow and obey God. What is the end? God knows you. He cherishes your path. He identifies with you and owns you. You are His. He will watch over the way of the righteous. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. That's all wrapped up in, for the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous. I am so glad. Do we not want the Lord to walk with the heralds as they move to Washington? Yes, we do. So how do we pray for that? Do we just pray, Lord, walk with the heralds? I mean, that's nice of you to pray that. But what should we be praying according to this psalm? Lord, help the heralds not to conform to the world. Help the heralds to follow delight in God's word. That's a prayer that God can answer. That God can work. And the reality is that's a prayer we should pray, be praying for one another, should we not? I don't simply want you to have a good life here, away from God. That is not a spiritual prayer. I want God's blessing on your life. And that comes when you obey God. Then God knows you. Then the way is good. God walks with you. His presence will always be with you through thick or thin, through joy and sorrow, through sin and repentance. God will be with you. The Lord knoweth the way of the righteous. But as a final reminder, this is amazing to me. It's like, This psalm is not PC in any way. It doesn't fit the modern scenario of education that you always are positive. The psalmist always is providing the warning here. But the way of the ungodly shall perish. You see, the way of the ungodly is wrapped up in death. But the way of the righteous lives. You want full life? You want real life? You want to experience and enjoy eternal life? Well then, do verses 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But, blessed is the man, favored is the man, approved of the man, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in His law doth he meditate day and night. May we bless the heralds by praying that God will help them walk with Him.
And by the way, heralds, please pray for us. We want you to pray the same thing for us, right?
Is that not our heart's desire as believers tonight? I don't want to stray from my Savior. I don't want to walk outside of the way of the righteous.
Saying goodbye in this world is never pleasant. Many of you have lived long enough to know that a goodbye like this may mean that we won't see them much ever again. We don't wish that, but that may be the reality. I moved from Pennsylvania 22 years ago. I've yet to get back. There are some beloved folks out there that I love. Some folks that we write, but it's never the same. Now, what do we do about that? Let's go home and cry? Okay, well, we'll do that, okay? But what can we do about that?
We can look forward to the day when there's this wonderful reunion in the congregation of the righteous. Verse 5. And we will stand together with the heralds, with the Lord. Now, won't that be a joy? No wonder we pray as believers, even so come, Lord Jesus. Partings will all be done then. Forever. Forever together. And by the way, when we're there, it's perfect. Isn't that great? No more warts on my life. You can put up with me then, see? I won't bug him. I say that tongue in cheek. But that's the reality, isn't it? What joy. Pray to that end. Pray to that end. We have hope. Now, heralds, we want you back as much as possible. But we know the reality, too. Washington's not just down the road 2 hours. So, in the meantime, may the heralds be blessed. Blessed are the heralds. Can I put it that way? Who walk not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Blessed are the heralds who delight in the law of the Lord. And in the law of the Lord they meditate day and night. Make that our prayer. Make that our blessing. Let's pray.
Lord, thank you for this beautiful psalm. I'm sure I have not in many ways done justice to it. Our hearts are heavy, and yet we know that you are with the heralds. It's been a joy and delight for this church family, and I entered partway through, for them to watch the heralds grow in Christ, for them to watch the heralds minister to our hearts. We thank you for their ministry among us, and we do pray for your hand of rich blessing on their life. We pray specifically that you would help and cause them to never walk away from you, to continue to grow in Christ in every way, to love your word, to understand and learn it, continue to be used of you in ways that we don't even understand or know right now. And so we ask for your favor and your acceptance of their life as they humbly walk with you. And then we pray that for each of us. Lord, we look forward to the day when we will stand together in the congregation of the righteous. Our partings will be done then, and we rejoice in that. Until then, may we be found faithful. Wherever you place us, wherever you put us, may your name be honored through our life. In your name we pray. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Believer, as you analyze your life, as the Spirit of God takes His Word and does its good work, His good work in your heart, would you say, Pastor, there's an area in my life where I see that I'm either being conformed to the world and I shouldn't be, or I haven't been delighting in the Word of God and I should be. God's Word has challenged my heart. Would you pray? Because I want God's favor. I want God's blessing. I want to be accepted of Him. Would you pray that God would help me in a specific area that He's working in my heart? Well, I need to grow, I need to mature, I need to maybe get some things right. Is there any believer like that tonight would quietly raise their hand and say, that's my need tonight. Pastor, pray for me. Anyone at all? Yes, amen. Amen. take God's word to heart, follow it. God will help you. He'll be with you. If you're here tonight without the Lord Jesus Christ, well, I believe I know basically everyone here, yet you've never trusted Christ, well then, why don't you come to Him tonight? The blessed life begins with becoming a child of God, trusting Him as your Lord and Savior. Maybe tonight you say, Pastor, please pray for me. I'm not saved, and I want to accept Christ as my Savior even tonight. Would there be one that would raise their hand and say, that's me, Pastor, that's me, pray for me. Anyone not saved? Lord, continue to work on our hearts, and I pray that as we even enter into a time of sweet fellowship around the Lord's table, that You would be pleased and honored with our fellowship. We look forward to the day when we will all again be together in heaven, in the congregation of the righteous, enjoying Your very presence, seeing You face to face. Lord, help us tonight to be faithful to You, not conforming to the world, delighting in Your word. It's in Your name we pray. Amen. Let's stand to our feet. Our heads are bowed. Our eyes are closed. And believer, if you need to come tonight and spend just a moment in prayer, please come. If I can be a help or encouragement to you, please come catch my hand. So as the pianist plays through the invitation hymn, we're humming along as God's working. You respond.